This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Schreiber, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
Welcome to our Week 3 rapid reaction of the Bills' absolute dominance over the Washington football team. The Bills' offense finally looked like the Bills' offense we expected, and there's not really anything to complain about from this game.
Not at all. I mean, this is what we expected from them from the beginning of the season. The offense was dominant against what was supposed to be, you know, preseason, an elite Washington defense that has not looked elite so far this year, but regardless, still a solid defense, and the Bills made it look really, really easy offensively. And this is what we were looking for, because we said, you know, I know I said at least, I didn't really care how the defense played. I want to see the offense go out and win a game, and that's what happened on yesterday against the Washington football team.
Yeah, and the game felt like it was over in the second quarter until the debacle on special teams there. But even then, it felt like Washington just had no chance to win the game. They were just completely overpowered. And we said in the preview that Taylor Heinicke just kind of throws the ball up sometimes, or a lot of the time. And, you know, it worked well for him in week two. It didn't against a better defense with the Bills. And, you know, they really took advantage of his poor decision-making. And it was great to just see an all-around great effort apart from, you know, the one special teams miscue.
Right. And, like, the defense played great. Heinicke made a couple mistakes. The Bills took advantage of it. They forced fumble on Logan Thomas. Washington couldn't run the ball at all. I think they averaged, like, 3 yards a carry as a team. And if you take away the screen pass that Antonio Gibson just made a play on, not that the Bills shouldn't have tackled him, it's still just a great play by a very good player. They only gave up like 140 yards passing. And it's just an all-around really good team effort. And this is kind of, I think, what we can expect now going forward for the most part from this team.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect them to, you know, score 43 points and win by 3 scores almost every week. But they should make it look easy against not so great teams. I don't think Washington's a bad team. I think this is going to be one of those teams that, you know, plays much better in the second half of the season when they get Ryan Fitzpatrick back. They get Curtis Samuel back offense here soon. I think the offense will look better even with Taylor Heinicke, you know, having a second receiving weapon other than Terry McLaurin. But I think the Bills just did a great job apart from that one screen pass, like you said, Nate. I mean, the first couple of weeks, that's something I noticed, is they struggled a little bit with tackling in the screen game, or it's almost like they over-pursue and teams run screens against them because they play so aggressively off the snap that it can come back to bite them with screens. But I mean, we're just nitpicking here, but that's something you can't let happen against a great team, and you got one coming up in 2 weeks.
And then the Bills, they have a week where they can kind of figure themselves out, but I don't, it's not necessarily a make or break thing. This, the team played really, really well, and it's hard, I guess, to find many complaints from this performance. I can think of maybe two things I could complain about from this game, which is a far cry from the many, many things from the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, and while we're going on the things to complain about, might as well just finish it up with Isaiah McKenzie on the kick return. I have no idea why he didn't just fair catch it. Just call fair catch and go catch it. Like, there's no harm in that. You don't lose the ball.
That's one of my complaints, is Isaiah McKenzie has not been very good returning kicks this year. It's, yes, he broke the 1 week, the opening half of the season. And he had one long, I think, punt return called back from penalty. But he has made some bad decisions so far this season. And I think that it's a possibility at this point for me that maybe Marquez Stevenson ends up getting that job when he comes back, because McKenzie just hasn't done a really great job decision making, whether it's on kickoffs or on punts. When he catches the ball and gets to return it, he's been really good. But I guess it depends how you weigh decision making and the return effort.
I will say he has been better than Andre Roberts, who already has 2 fumbles this year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. He's great once the ball's in his hands. It's, you know, just kind of getting to that point. He's a bit unsure of himself or just making bad decisions, period. But, you know, otherwise, Josh Allen was outstanding in this game. He, whatever he wanted, he did in this game. And, you know, I was at the game in our seats in the end zone by the tunnel. And that throw for the first touchdown pass to Emmanuel Sanders is probably the most ridiculous throw he's made in his career yet. He threw that ball from about the 32-yard line off of 1 foot, rolling to his right, throwing into a headwind, and just put it on the spot, like 40 yards away, right to where only Emmanuel Sanders could get it. It was just absurd. And, you know, we kind of take those things for granted that, you know, the Bills never had a quarterback that could do that kind of thing. Not many teams do or ever have. It's just sometimes you have to stop and be like, wow, you don't see that very often.
Yeah, I mean, he made a couple throws this game. That was probably the best one. I mean, his second touchdown pass to Sanders was also a ridiculous throw. It wasn't off platform or anything, but the velocity he had to have on that throw to get it from the far hash to the far corner of the end zone and not the biggest window, that throw also impressed me a lot. Like, after seeing that from the end zone view, like, that was another one. Just like, okay, maybe 2 other guys in the league can make that throw. But for it looked, when you watch it live, it looks like a simple throw. When you see the end zone view and where, like, the window he had, pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, and on the very first drive there, when it was like 3rd and 15, and he wedged that ball into Gabriel Davis in a tight window for what made it look like an easy first down, I knew the offense was in business. It just felt like it was going to be one of those days where he was going to do whatever he wanted.
And he pretty much did do whatever he wanted, which it was great on for everything. The offense in general looked really good. The running game was different, but it was still fine. Devin Singletary struggled. Zach Moss looked like a running back one in this game, both running the ball and catching the ball he made. They ran an angle route against Bostic where Zach Moss made a catch, and right on the catch made a pretty sick juke and ended up getting like 15 yards. Singletary can make that play with the balls already in his hands, but does he catch the ball and make that play? I don't know. I mean, Zach Moss, I think, is a better receiver at this point. It's tough for me to say after 3 games that Zach Moss should be running back one, but he was much better than Singletary yesterday.
Yeah, and Singletary was much better in week 2. So it's like, it well, in some senses, you know, Zach Moss did have the 2 touchdowns, but for the most part, Singletary's been really good up until week 3 here. So I think it's just going to be like a game-by-game basis with the running backs, where it really just depends on the opponent and how they match up. And I think Zach Moss is more, you know, north-south, just run through people style, worked much better against Washington than Singletary's kind of, you know, make a guy miss inside of a phone booth and pick up a few extra yards he's not supposed to. It's just, it doesn't work well against a defensive line like that.
Yeah, and I think another thing that in my mind is how Zach Moss is, why Zach Moss will get more snaps for most of the season, is he's much better in the passing game than Singletary at this point. I trust Zach Moss much more to catch the ball and make tough plays in the passing game than I do Singletary. And if the Bills feel the same way, because the offense, they throw so much, that gives Zach Moss a little bit of an edge.
Yeah, on that 4th down on the other side of the field, I think it was 4th and 2, and Devin Singletary ran his flat route about right even with the line of scrimmage instead of getting to the first down marker. And I didn't really see him involved in another passing play after that. At least I don't remember it. So he definitely has a lot of room for improvement in, you know, actually running pass routes and catching the ball. But he's still pretty good as a pass protector. So I guess it just depends on situation.
Right. It will depend on the situation. I mean, Zach Moss, yes, I'd rather have the ball in his hand. But if you're going to throw the ball passing, but if you're talking about blocking, I'd rather have Singletary because they don't really ask Zach Moss to block a whole lot. But that's the best part. It's not, I mean, the best part, I guess, is debatable, but to me, one of the best parts about this performance in the first weeks of the season is Stephon Diggs hasn't even had a great game yet or been unstoppable in a game yet. And the Bills offense did this. Like, imagine if Diggs gets going with Emmanuel Sanders and with Cole Beasley, like that, this offense is going to be absolutely unstoppable at points this season.
And Dawson Knox, we've been on the Dawson Knox hype train, you know, since they drafted him. He's been absolutely ridiculous this year. I think he's only got 2 targets that he didn't catch so far through 3 weeks. And the touchdown was absolutely insane. And I want to see him get more targets because he probably should be seeing 7-8 plus a game. He's that good.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and we've said, like Alex just said, we've said this for since he was a rookie. His talent, his physical ability is off the charts. He's, in terms of pure football talent, a top 5 tight end in this league, physical ability wise. Has he been putting it together, you know, a top 10 tight end in the league so far in his career? No, he hasn't. But like you saw that catch he made, the touchdown catch he made. Like, how many guys make that play? Not too many.
Yeah, not many tight ends for sure. So I think just, you know, we talked about the defense being great, but it was the big time players on this defense made big time plays in this game. And that's what you expect, especially against an inferior opponent.
For sure. And I mean, the Bills didn't have any sacks against Heinicke. I mean, they had one, maybe. Did they have a sack? I don't even know.
I think they might have had one sack. Yeah.
And they didn't get as much pressure on him, but they did a really good job overall. And they got enough pressure on Heinicke, got enough hits on Heinicke, like that it made a difference. And a couple of interceptions were because they were getting some pressure on him. And they're not going to get the 6 sacks every single game, but the defensive line still made a big difference.
Yeah, that's going to be one where I have to rewatch the game. You know, it didn't seem like they were doing a great job of getting pressure consistently, but Washington also has a pretty good offensive line. It's definitely top half of the league, if not into the top 10 in terms of pass protection. So I'm not going to read too far into the sack numbers there, but overall, I mean, the coverage was great. I don't think Heinicke really knows what he's looking at a lot of the time, which probably contributed to both of the interceptions. You could see both of those coming from a mile away and not sure why he threw those balls, but hey, we'll take it.
For sure. And something that we'll talk about this a little bit more when we do a more deep dive into the game. But if you look at snap counts on the defensive line, the 2 guys who got the least amount of snaps in that game were Mario Addison and Vernon Butler. And that kind of shows the Bills are leaning, they're trusting the young guys, they're leaning on the young guys on defense to make plays in the defensive line.
Yeah, I think that's a good sign because they're coming along way faster than we expected. And, you know, by the time we get to football in January and hopefully February, they'll have plenty of experience under their belt and should be playing even better by then. Nate, anything else you want to touch on? Or shall we wrap until we give a more detailed review later in the week?
We'll get a chance to watch some film, but this is an overall dominating win, what we've expected from this team. And I think the Bills have, you know, calmed a lot of fears, a lot of anxiety people might have had, and they've cemented their themselves as they are one of the best teams in the NFL, and they're one of the teams to beat this season.
I think that's right. And the more we go along, I think we'll probably look back at that Pittsburgh game as just a fluky week 1 where the Bills are way better than the Steelers quite clearly by the end of the season. And, you know, something wacky just happened that week. So that'll bring us to an end of this episode of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Alex Pallinger.
And I am Nate Schreiber.
Subscribe, download, give us a rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. It helps other people find the show. Follow us on Twitter at @Bills_Breakdown. Send us any questions, comments, feedback to BillsBreakdownPodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.